All right, ready to dive in. Today we're tackling one of those stories everyone thinks they know. The fall of man from the book of Genesis.
Genesis.
But we're going deeper than just the apple incident this time.
Okay, going deeper. I like it.
We're really trying to unpack what that serpent represents.
Right.
What's it telling us about sin, obedience, good, evil, the whole shebang? You might think you've heard it all before.
I bet some of our listeners think they have this one down pat.
But stick with us, because we've got some fascinating theological interpretations to uncover.
Stuff that really adds layers to this familiar narrative.
So let's start with the obvious.
Lay it on me.
Was the serpent just a plain old animal? Or something?
The million-dollar question right there. To get into that, we need to look at this idea of a probationary command.
Probationary command.
Yeah, it's a term from theologian Herman Bevink.
Okay.
And it basically means Adam and Eve weren't forbidden from eating the fruit because the fruit itself was evil.
Mm-hmm.
The choice they were facing was the real issue: obey God or trust their own judgment.
So the disobedience was the sin, not the fruit.
That's the gist, yeah.
I like that take.
It makes you think about the choices we all face, right?
For sure. Are we choosing to obey something bigger than ourselves or just going with our own whims?
Now, you know, the Bible says the serpent was more subtle than other beasts. What do you think that means?
Is it like wisdom or more like crafty?
Well, scholar John Gibson sees the whole talking serpent thing as a kind of literary device, like Aesop's fables.
Yeah, okay.
In fables, the animals represent human flaws, right?
Right.
So Gibson thinks the serpent, just like those talking animals,
yeah,
is showing us something about our own weaknesses, the things that tempt us.
That makes a lot of sense. But some scholars point to verses in the Bible that suggest it's more than just a symbol.
Absolutely. Like in 2 Corinthians 11.3 and 1 Timothy 2.13, Paul seems to take the serpent's deception as a real event.
As a warning. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, watch out. This stuff really happens.
Exactly. And then you have those verses linking the serpent to Satan.
Right, right.
John 8.44, Jesus calls Satan a liar and the father of lies.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Romans 16.2 and Revelation 20.2.
All pointing to something beyond just a regular animal.
Right. John Murray, another theologian, he really analyzed the serpent's intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
He says it goes way beyond what any normal animal would have. So it implies a higher power, like Satan, working through it.
So a bit like Balaam's talking donkey, God using an animal to speak.
Yeah, good point. And we know angels can appear as humans in the Bible.
True.
So Satan taking a physical form isn't a huge stretch.
But then there's Genesis 3.14. God curses the serpent to crawl on its belly.
Yeah, that seems pretty clear.
Like it was definitely a snake, right?
It does. But then that phrase, eat dust,
mm-hmm,
could be literal, but maybe it's symbolic, like describing how snakes slither.
It's almost like a poetic curse, right?
Right.
And don't forget, this was all pre-fall, before sin.
That's crucial. We can't necessarily compare today's snakes to whatever that serpent was. It might have been totally different.
Okay, so back to that word subtle. Was the serpent wise or crafty?
Both interpretations are out there.
But considering 2 Corinthians and how the serpent twists God's words, I'm leaning towards crafty.
I get that. The crafty reading seems to fit. But the wise idea is interesting, too.
Oh, how so?
It makes you think about how tempting knowledge can be. Maybe wise isn't about morality, but the serpent's skill, using knowledge, even twisted knowledge, to get what it wants.
That's a good point. Like, knowledge without a moral compass can be dangerous.
Exactly. And that brings us to the serpent's whole method of temptation, which is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, what's going on there? Because it's not a straight-up lie.
Right. The serpent doesn't lie to Eve directly. He plants seeds of doubt, twists the truth about God's words and intentions.
Like the original snake oil salesman.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? That's how it starts. It's subtle, sneaky.
And that's what makes this story so relevant today. We are bombarded with messages trying to twist the truth.
All the time. Advertisers, politicians, social media, you name it. All trying to get us to think a certain way.
It's like we're surrounded by modern-day serpents.
Promising happiness and fulfillment, but do they really deliver?
That's the question, isn't it? The fall reminds us that giving into temptation, choosing ourselves over something bigger, there are consequences. But it also gives us hope. Because even though they messed up, Adam and Eve, they gained something too.
What do you mean?
A deeper understanding of good and evil. It's like their experience, as tough as it was, it helped them grow.
And maybe paved the way for redemption. in a way.
You got it. And that's where obedience comes in.
Okay, obedience. But not blind obedience, right?
Right. It's more like a thoughtful submission to a higher authority, something bigger than ourselves.
So not just following rules blindly, but seeking out wisdom and guidance from sources we can trust.
Exactly. It's like when you're learning a new skill, say playing guitar or learning to drive.
Yeah.
You need a teacher, someone to show you the ropes. You trust their expertise.
So you don't crash the car or play all the wrong notes.
Right. And it's the same with our spiritual journey, our moral compass. We need guidance.
So that could be religious texts, spiritual leaders.
Mentors, wise friends, even that inner voice, you know.
That gut feeling.
Recognizing we don't have all the answers. That we need something beyond ourselves.
Which can be tough. Our pride gets in the way sometimes.
Absolutely. Thinking we can do it all alone. But the fall reminds us true freedom comes from surrender.
Surrendering to something bigger than ourselves.
Trusting a wisdom that goes beyond our own understanding.
So it's not about weakness or blind faith.
No, it's about recognizing our limits. Choosing to align ourselves with truth.
A truth that can lead us to a better life, ultimately.
And, you know, that serpent almost represents that part of us that wants to go it alone. Relying on just our brain and our desires, pushing away any guidance.
That voice that says, I know better, I got this, no one tells me what to do.
Yeah. And the fall shows us what can happen when we listen to that voice.
When we try to be our own gods.
We can end up making choices that lead to pain, suffering, separation from what matters.
So how do we fight that? We're surrounded by these modern-day serpents, right?
What?
Temptations that promise the world but lead us astray.
Discernment. We have to learn to see those temptations for what they are.
See through the fancy promises.
And ask, do these things actually line up with what I believe, with what I really want?
So it's not about avoiding pleasure or success.
No, it's about being aware of our motivations, making choices that lead to real, lasting happiness.
Not just the quick fix, the instant gratification.
And that takes honesty. Looking inward and asking the tough questions. What am I truly seeking? What will really satisfy me? Am I being the person I want to be?
It's about tending that inner garden we talked about.
Nurturing wisdom and virtue to help us resist those whispers.
Because like a real garden, we have to work at it.
Right? Spiritual and moral growth takes effort. Feed our minds with truth, our hearts with compassion, our souls with a sense of purpose that's bigger than ourselves.
Recognizing that we're all works in progress. It's a journey.
With challenges and triumphs.
Yeah.
And the fall, in a way, maybe it's just part of that journey.
Like a wake-up call.
A reminder that we need guidance and grace.
Speaking of those who've come before us, there's another layer to this story that I find fascinating.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
It's the idea that the serpent wasn't just tempting Eve to disobey God, but also to mess up her relationship with Adam.
Oh, interesting. Tell me more about that.
Well, the serpent goes after Eve, specifically, not Adam.
Good point.
He uses her curiosity, her desire for knowledge, her independence. It's like he's trying to create a rift between them.
To make them distrust each other?
Exactly. And it makes me think about how often our own relationships are tested by those same things.
That jealousy, insecurity, the need to control.
It's like those little serpents can poison love and trust.
The serpent saying, you don't need him. You can be your own God. You can have it all.
But what Eve learns, and what we often learn the hard way, is that real fulfillment comes from connection.
Right.
From sharing our lives, from submitting to something bigger than our egos. It's like, divided we fall, right?
Yeah.
Let those serpents of distrust in, you weaken the whole thing.
The serpent knew that. Break down the trust between them.
Easier to control.
Much easier.
And isn't that what's happening today? In a way.
In a way, yeah.
So much division, so much focus on me, me, me. It's like we've forgotten how to be a we.
All living in our own little gardens of Eden.
Yeah.
Tempted by those serpents of self-interest.
But the fall reminds us that's not where true happiness is.
Not at all. It's connection, community, recognizing we're all in this together.
It makes you think about how important it is to take care of those relationships.
Oh.
Build those bonds of love and trust so we can weather the storms.
And, you know, that's something anyone can do. Doesn't matter what you believe. We can all be a little kinder, a little more compassionate, a little more forgiving.
Build bridges, not walls.
Exactly.
Remember, we're all human.
We make mistakes. We struggle. We succeed.
We're all on this journey together.
That's what's so powerful about the fall to me. It's not just about sin and punishment.
It's about being human.
All the good and bad that comes with it.
And it's a story that's still playing out right now in our lives.
Every single day.
So, as we wrap up this deep dive, I have a question for you.
Okay, shoot.
What serpents are you wrestling with? What temptations are you facing?
Hmm.
Are you being tempted to be selfish, to isolate yourself, to give in to anger or fear?
Those are good questions.
What choices can you make starting today to cultivate that inner garden?
To resist those serpents.
Nurture those relationships that give you joy and strength.
And help make the world a better place.
More loving, more just, more unified.
It's a lifelong process, you know.
But even if we stumble, there's always hope.
Right. Always. For redemption, for growth, for connection. With ourselves, with each other, with something bigger.
Well, thanks for joining us on this exploration, one of the most fascinating stories ever told.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time, keep diving deep, keep questioning, keep seeking those truths that set you free.